Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Dettelier joins us now, WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk. How you doing, Mike?
I'm fine. Thank you, Tommy.
Well, you got to be careful once you start doing that, because I was working out yesterday at my house, and every couple of minutes I just spout out, the Rattler! It's hard to stop once you get started. For people that think this is going to be the second coming of Patrick Mahomes on Sunday in the Dome, thoughts about maybe tampering those expectations a little bit?
Yeah, anything with a rookie quarterback in his first game. And, you know, there was some excitement, certainly, because he brings a certain element. Because of his background, he was the number one rated recruit coming out of high school, goes to Oklahoma as a redshirt freshman. He was an impressive football player, really was. He found out there's always another dude better than you. And they bring in Caleb Williams. And, you know, the town wasn't big enough for both sheriffs. So he had to leave and go to South Carolina. And Caleb, you know, stayed that 1 year at Oklahoma. And then he left and he went to USC. Mm-hmm. But he's an impressive passer. And we're talking about this last night, that first time, because I'd watched him for, you know, those years at Oklahoma and then at South Carolina. How well he could spin the ball. I mean, he can throw it. It comes out of there different. And we had the first open OTA. Bobby and I, we watching him, and he throws a football in a tight coverage throw. We sort of looked at one another like, whoa.
Different, you know, comes out how, Mike? Spin it. About the mechanics. What? Different how? I'm just curious. You said it comes out
it
different.
It just comes out, Tommy, so much quicker, so much faster. And just the revolutions on that ball, the way it comes out.
Like that flick of the wrist and a lot of spin.
Yeah. And it was like, whoa. That you don't see that a lot. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen that from a second-string quarterback with the Saints. And you could tell he's got a certain kind of presence about him. When he came to Manning camp a couple years ago, that was a certain kind of aura around him that, you know, hey, I've been through a lot. I've been scuffed up a little bit, but I came out and I'm going to do well. And so he brings that to the table. He is basically a pocket passer. It's always been that way. He has a little bit of a movement skill left and right. Now, a year ago in South Carolina, they moved him around a lot because his offensive line was so bad. So he had no choice. He had to get out of there quickly. Mm-hmm. And so he does have some movement skills. He's not considered a runner like what we saw with Jaden Daniels or even Caleb Williams at USC. But he does have that capability that he can move around the pocket real well. But what has always impressed me about him, his ability to read what's downfield, step up, and the ball comes out of there so fast, out of his arms. I mean, it's impressive to see him throw the football. So you have that. He is a chance taker. He will put a ball up in coverage and in tight coverage, and that he's going to have to temper. Because it's different from preseason to a regular season game because of who you're playing against. You aren't playing against the ones in preseason. This is the NFL. It's a totally different game. He does have that tendency to want to do it, but he's going to make some plays too. And in the system that they run today with Kubiak, they're going to move him a little bit left, a little bit right. It does cut off half the field, but he gets the ball out so fast. so quick. And so it's going to be timing. It's going to be rapport with your receivers. And also, too, don't get greedy. Drew Brees always made this comment that sometimes you got to learn this. The best throw is a throwaway. Mm-hmm. That you, it's not there. You live to fight another battle. And that's something that Spencer's going to have to learn at the NFL level.
When it comes to regular season, too, as opposed to preseason, it's going to be a lot more confusing and a lot more trickeration involved on a defensive side trying to get him to think he sees one thing than in a preseason, too, because that's pretty vanilla, right?
Oh, yeah, it's totally vanilla. And the one thing, who you're going up against in Todd Bowles, Todd's been a master of, he shows you an initial look of where you think pressure might come from, and then he changes it up. A lot of older coaches in this league, they going up against a rookie would do like this sugar rush, where it's just a push up the field, but don't let you get around the pocket and play coverage and make you make that throw downfield. Make you make a decision. One thing with Todd Bowles, you might see a little of that, but he's all about pressure. And for the most part, it's about getting pressure from the interior. Not all the time off the edge. Sometimes overloading an offensive line with five blockers and a tight end. He may have six guys up front, six on six, sometimes seven on six. But he's trying to get pressure right up the middle. Because if I had Vita Vey, that's what I would do. Mm-hmm. He's a 355-pound man that's such an unusual athlete that he can kind of blow up the launch pad of a passer, and then I can send extra people. Because he's going to occupy two guys. And so that's the challenge for Rattler. I don't think so much coming off the edge. It's about getting pressure up the middle. That's what Todd Bowles' defense has always been known for.
And I ask you every week, you know, who's the guy? And in this case, the guy is Vita Vey, I'm guessing.
Hey, yeah. Yeah, he is an unusual cat because, you know, I've seen him listed at 330 or 340. Come on, he ain't close to that. I mean, he's more 355 plus. But he is such a good athlete mm-hmm. for a big man. The way he can move up the field. And he knows his job. It's not always to be the pass rusher. It's to occupy blocks and set up someone else to make a play. He does it. He's healthy now, and so he does it as well as anybody at that nose tackle position, just sort of blowing out everything up. Because he wants you moving. And he's big enough and fast enough. He can catch you sometimes, but he wants that quarterback on the move. The other player to watch here is Antoine Winfield Jr. Man, I scouted his dad when he came out of Ohio State. And so I've been doing this a few years. Mm-hmm. And his dad played 14 years in the NFL. And Winfield, this offseason, became the highest paid safety in the NFL. He's not the biggest guy in the world. He did not play last week because of a foot injury against the Falcons. Smart, instinctive. He kind of roves center field of the football field. And he's good at it, and he tricks you. Okay, make that throw, and then he'll, man, undercut you and make an interception. So those are the two guys. Antoine Winfield, if he plays, and he's been limited, but if he's practicing, he's playing. Hey, and Vita Vey, the defensive tackle.
You always wonder if those big guys are athletic or not, and you look at number 50 last week. He's been pretty athletic play with that interception and return from Kalen Saunders. We could take a break. Mike, somebody texted in. Regular listener apparently saying they remember a conversation that you had with Archie Manning, and Archie had high praise for Spencer Rattler. We'll talk about when we come back. 822 traffic now.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WL. 827, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Mike Dettelier talking about the Saints-Bucks matchup. Spencer Rattler getting the ball. The start at quarterback for the injured Derek Carr. Mike, I was talking earlier, a listener texted in about it, remembering a conversation between you and Archie Manning about Spencer Rattler, and Archie had high praise for him, huh?
Yeah, I'll always ask Archie, because he goes to all those meetings that they have before the practice sessions. And I asked him about Spencer, and he was like, Mike, you know, sometimes the first impressions aren't the best ones. And he said, you know, my memory of Spencer was he had the documentary, and, you know, he was a high school kid and everything else. And he said, I didn't know how he would react to that. And he said he was always the first one in every meeting. He was there before everybody else. He always sit up front for the session, and they have 40 to 50 starting college quarterbacks every year come into Manning. He said he was always the first guy at the meeting, sit up front, always ask questions. He was inquisitive, and they had a bond between one another. And he said, you know, I kept in touch with him throughout his college career when he was at South Carolina, and we sort of text one another. And if he'd have a big game or if he'd have a bad game, you know, Arch would give him, you know, and some encouragement. He said, I was so impressed with him. He said, naturally, he got talent. Mm-hmm. You know, he said, Mike, you could see it. And we watched him at Manning, the way he could throw a football. But he said, you know, his attention to detail, the process, and listening not only to other quarterbacks that were in college football, but also to Peyton and Eli, and them trying to help him if it was mechanical or what to look for downfield, the step up and throw. Archie was really gave high praise to Spencer. But he said, you know what impressed me? He didn't have to be the first guy here every time. He didn't have to be that guy. And he was. And he would always sort of question a little bit about what was happening and what to do in this situation and was he setting his feet right and what to look for downfield. And he said that really came across very well, Archie, that he was willing to learn. Because, you know, we've had some of them here. Mm-hmm. Man, they think they reinvented the world football-wise as a passer. And Spencer was open to a little bit of critique of his game and how to do it better.
That says a lot, man. I'm going to tell you what, to have Archie Manning take you under his wing and stay in touch like that. We'll pick it up. We come back with Mike Dettelier, WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk, continuing to talk about the Saints' huge divisional game against Tampa Bay. Of course, our coverage begins at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning here at WWL. We'll also sneak in a little LSU Ole Miss as well. Right now, time for WWL First News. 8:44, 16 till 9, Saints taking on Tampa Bay, a huge divisional game. Mike Dettelier is here with us to talk about it. Of course, our coverage starts at 8 a.m. First Take. Steve Geller, Jeff Nowak, then at 10, the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff. Bobby Hebert inside the dome. Loge Level Gate B Atrium. That's presented by Craig's Electrical and Generator Service. Mike Dettelier usually makes an appearance as well. Then sync up with Deuce and Haas, like I was telling you before. Listen to the Saints-Bucks on WWL. Turn down the TV. As Deuce always says, it's a Saints tradition. Listen to the home team. You're going to get a lot more insight than you will from the TV team. And then after, you can sound off with Ciroc Point After with the Cajun Cannon. Saints Bucks, 10 hours wall-to-wall football coverage starting at 8 Sunday on WWL and a free Odyssey app. Mike, Clint Kubiak yesterday was talking about swag, and then one of the players, the young receiver, repeated it, and he said he didn't want to overdo the swag thing. But what kind of game plan do you think Clint Kubiak, the offensive coordinator, designs to get the most out of Spencer Rattler and keep him comfortable?
Because at this point, you know what he does best as a player. Okay, you've had weeks to work with him, and also too in conversations with him. What he feels that he does best. You can't change your offense. It is what it is. But you can have a few design plays that makes it easier for him. And what I think you'll see is a little bit more of a waggle play where you move him a little left, a little right, you cut off the field in half, and you give him a designated spot. It makes it simpler for the quarterback. And it is part of this West Coast offense that they do that. So I think that is what you'll see there. But you know at this stage what Spencer does best. Now it's going to be up to Spencer to go out there and sort of execute those plays. But I think you'll see a little bit more of what you want to call a half movement where he'll roll out left and roll out right and throw to a designated spot. And he can hum it. Tommy, again, can he complete it and can he not get it picked off is one thing. But there is no question about his arm talent. None.
Scale of 1 to 5, Mike. 1 being none, 5 being huge. Surprise factor with not really having any tape on him from the Tampa Bay defensive standpoint. Thoughts?
Because you'll go back and look at what he did at South Carolina. Mm-hmm. I mean, that because that's really what you got on him. You can see a little bit of preseason work, but I'm not sure you get much out of that. I think he'd be much better off going back and look at what he did those final 2 seasons at South Carolina. And what he did in certain down distance situations, what did he like to do? Because the South Carolina coaches knew what was best for him too. First year there, he got pretty good protection. He threw the football extremely well. Last year there, man, it may be a repeat performance because he's used to playing behind an offensive line that wasn't very good. Last year at South Carolina, it was not very good. And it was a lot more movement with him because he had to. Again, he has always been sort of that pocket passer with a little bit of movement left and right. Last year, he had no choice. He had to throw everything off the move because they were coming at him left and right. So that's what I would do if I was Tampa. I'd go back and look at that South Carolina tape.
Tampa Bay's got a quarterback, too. We haven't mentioned him yet, Baker Mayfield. Talk about him, Mike, if you will, the year he's having and what the Saints are going to have to do to neutralize him and the Tampa Bay offense.
He's a quick-rhythm, fast-throwing quarterback. That's what he excelled at. Excelled at Oklahoma like that. And Dave Canales took full advantage of that a year ago. He became the head coach of the Panthers. But fast, quick, make that decision, get it out of his hands. He does that extremely well. And Mike Evans is his favorite target, no question. Now, from the Saints, I got Lattimore on him. And they've had some epic battles between the two of them.
Oh, yeah, that's something to watch in and of itself. If you go into the game, because it's hard to do on TV, get the binoculars and just watch Evans and Lattimore go out throughout the game. Because that's the thing about football people miss sometimes, Mike, and you well know the individual battles. Because these guys are going against each other every play, and sometimes they're not involved in the play necessarily with matriculating the ball, as Hank Stram would say, but they do have their battles going on, right? Interior line, et cetera.
Yeah, and they get under each other's skin, both of them. So my thing would be what happens on the other side with the veteran Chris Godwin. Man, Lattimore and Evans, they've squared off, and Lattimore has won the majority of those battles going up against Mike Evans. I think he is going to try to get Chris Godwin heavily involved, and if I'm the Bucs coaches and seeing how the Saints have had difficulty covering the tight end, Cade Otton becomes a bigger target for me. Instead of 2 to 3 catches, he becomes maybe 5 to 6 because the Saints have had some issues going up against tight ends. But the Evans-Lattimore thing I think has been overshadowed this week because of Spencer Rattler getting his first start. But, man, they would get after one another. Lattimore got kicked out of a game because of, you know, them going after one another. It's really been great to watch. And to see Mike Evans, who's not someone who really does a lot of he's no diva receiver. That man is consistency year in, year out to catch the football. He's 6'5", and so he gives you that big target downfield. But in this game, it may be more of a Chris Godwin game.
All right, let's take a break. We'll pick it up. We'll come back with Mike Dettillier, 260-504-260-1870. That's the Oakland Art Jeweler Talk and text line. If you have any questions or comments, I want to talk about Bucky Irving when we come back as well. And also Rashad White, Tampa Bay's running attack, 851, 9 till 9, traffic now, WWL. All right, 8:56, 4 till 9, couple of minutes left with Mike Dettillier previewing the Saints-Tampa Bay matchup. Mike, you know, it's hard to say at this point, key game, but, you know, if you lose this game, you drop a division game, you what, 2-4, right? Then you got Denver coming in on a short week, and then 2-5 is a pretty deep hole to be in. Let's hope none of that happens, but it's important that the Saints beat Tampa Bay. It's a 2-for-1 game. Tell me what they got to do. I know Alvin Kamara's playing hurt. They got to take some pressure off of him because he continues to take some big shots. How do you see this playing out?
No, you got to run the ball. You got to win up front. Oh, what was so disturbing about watching them against the Chiefs? They got beat up. Mm-hmm. They didn't get beat. They got beat up up front, offensive, defensive line. Yep. And so to take pressure off of the young rookie quarterback, you got to be able to run the football. That's what was the key early on this season. It goes to show you, when you lose Eric McCoy at center and then Taysom at running back, and they're difficult to replace, and you have not run the football well since both those guys went down.
And then it gets worse. You got Cesar Ruiz didn't practice. Lucas Patrick didn't practice. I don't know. When do we know if they play or not, or how likely are they to play?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. Both didn't practice the last 2 days. I'd be surprised if they played. So, again, you got another makeshift offensive line. But Tampa Bay, for the last 3 weeks, they've had at least a dozen players on the injured list. They were without four starters against the Falcons last Thursday. Mm. So, okay, everybody's got it. You know, some issues with injuries, some a little more than others. It's just part of the game. And, you know, they didn't have Antoine Winfield. Graham Barton, their starting center, was nicked up in that game. He hasn't practiced the last two games because of a hamstring injury. So you got to fight through it. But my thing for this game, stay away from the turnovers, run the football. For the Bucs, might sound crazy, but it is what it is. You got to be able to stop their rushing attack of Rashad White, Bucky Irving, make Baker Mayfield be the one to beat you throwing it.
What about Tampa Bay being here with the hurricane and all of that? Do you see any advantage, disadvantage there either way? Because I know the Saints had that.
I just remember for Ida, you know, they leaving, they went to Texas first and then played the game in Jacksonville. And Sean Payton talking about it afterwards about, hey, my focus with them is we can't do anything about the hurricane. All we can do is play, play football, and give these people a little bit of an enjoyment of watching us play. But let's take care of our business. I don't know how Todd Bowles handles it, but I thought what Sean did when that occurred for Ida was the best thing. Get them away. Get them focused, and then go play the game.
And more importantly, and the families. They took care of the families, too. So once you know your family's safe, you can take care of business. Thank you. Mike, prediction?
I think Tampa wins in a close game.
Walk-off field goal?
Something like that, but I think it's a close game between the two. And stay away from the turnovers, Spencer. Hey, you're not going to be graded on just one game.
Protect the football. Thank you, Mike Dettelier. We're going to talk to Ian McNulty when we come back. WWL.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.